Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
You mean? Good evening again, everyone. So I titled my talk this evening, Effortless Effort, the Dharma Gate of Ease and Joy. And I'd like to begin this evening by sharing a traditional Zen koan. Those of you who perhaps sometimes sit with me on Thursday evenings have become somewhat familiar with these wonderful teaching stories, these encounters, these Zen koans. And so I'd like to open by sharing a koan this evening. This is a very well-known koan that is found in different koan collections, in different versions, different translations. The translation that I'll offer comes from Zen Master Dogen's 300 koan, Shinji Shobogenzo. It is case number 8 from the Shobogenzo, and it is titled Nanyue's Polishes a Brick. Nanyue Polishes a Brick. Main case. Zen Master Mazu Daoye was an attendant to Nanyue and personally received the mind seal from him, exceeding his peers. Before that, he lived in Kaiyuan Monastery and did Zazen all day long. Knowing that Mazu was a Dharma vessel, Nanyue went to him and asked, "Great monastic, what do you intend by doing Zazen?" Mazu said, "I am intending to be a Buddha." Nanyue picked up a brick and started polishing it. Mazu said, "What are you doing?" Nanyue said, "I am trying to make a mirror." Mazu said, "How can you make a mirror by polishing a brick?" Nanyue said, "How can you become a Buddha by doing Zazen?" Mazu said, "What do you mean by that?" Nanyue said, "Think about driving a cart. When it stops moving, do you whip the cart or the horse?" Mazu said nothing. Nanyue said, "Do you want to practice sitting Zen or sitting Buddha? If you understand sitting Zen, you will know that Zen is not about sitting or lying down. If you want to learn sitting Buddha, know that sitting Buddha is without any fixed form. Do not use discrimination in the non-abiding Dharma. If you practice sitting as Buddha, you must kill Buddha. If you are attached to the sitting form, you are not yet mastering the essential principle." Mazu heard this admonition and felt as if he had tasted sweet nectar. Commentary. You should understand that Zazen is not meditation or contemplation. It is not about quieting the mind, focusing the mind, or studying the mind. It is not mindfulness or mindlessness. If you want to really understand Zazen, then know that Zazen is not about sitting or lying down. Zazen is Zazen. It is undefiled. With regard to sitting Buddha, you should understand that the very moment of sitting Buddha is the killing of Buddha. Thus, sitting Buddha is beyond any set form and has no abode. Therefore, when the brick is a mirror, Mazu is Buddha. When Mazu is Buddha, Mazu is at once Mazu. When Mazu is Mazu, his Zazen is immediately Zazen. Each thing is not transformed into the other, but is in fact originally the other. Practice is the unfoldment. I'm sure you're all good with that koan. You can move forward. So these wonderful and often perplexing and confusing Zen koans they're really not meant to be understood in the normal way that we understand things with the intellectual mind. They're kind of meant to upend our habitual and linear ways of thinking. And that same spirit of koan practice, that same spirit and energy really reflects the spirit and energy of all Zen practice. I think we are so conditioned in our life. From a very early age, we're conditioned to be so incredibly goal-oriented, so achievement-oriented. And this can serve a purpose for sure, but it can also create so many obstacles, so many barriers, so many vexations for us. We're conditioned to be so results-oriented and to have this very high expectation of having to always, always gain something, acquire something, achieve some result, that a result that we can readily or immediately see, a result or achievement that we can readily hold. And this is nothing but the illusion that man has created. And the mind attaches itself very quickly, very easily through our conditioning. It attaches itself to this illusion, and we become stuck in it. We become stuck in this delusion, thinking that life, that our life, is all about constantly striving to achieve, striving to acquire this and that, striving and pushing to move up the ladder, to continue climbing higher and higher up the ladder, achieving more, acquiring more, doing more. And we bring this mentality, this same habitual way of thinking and doing, to almost every aspect of our lives. And again, we begin this from a very early age. We bring that same mentality of doing and achieving and acquiring and gaining to every aspect of our lives. And so naturally, we also bring this same mentality to our spiritual life and to our spiritual practice. We come to practice often feeling that we must achieve some goal, that we must gain something tangible, something that we can hold on to, something that we can claim, that we can hold up as this prize. Look at what I've attained. Look at what I've gained through my spiritual practice. Look at what I've become. And there's nothing wrong, to be clear, there's nothing wrong with having, of course, intention and aspiration in our practice. And there's nothing wrong with setting certain goals, certain small goals in our practice. But the problem comes that we can easily turn it into some goal or achievement-oriented practice. Our practice becomes nothing more than wanting to achieve something else, gain something else, attain something more. There is this danger of practice being confused for achieving goals, that this is the point of practice. What is practice if not to achieve some goals? To achieve this, to achieve that, to become this, to become that. And so we come to practice, and we often come to Zazen practice when we sit, with this feeling that we really have to bear down. We have to hold on tight, grit our teeth, and strain really, really hard. We sit. We sit straight, and we strain. We push. We have this mentality that we must push. We must strain, we must work so hard to awaken, to become enlightened, to become something, to become a Buddha. And so we come back to our opening koan with Nanyue and Mazu. And it should be noted that Mazu, also known as Basso in Japanese, Mazu became a great Zen master. This encounter is when he was a student, although quite an advanced student himself, a young master. But this encounter is between Mazu and his teacher, Nanyue, who was a great Zen master. And so what is this koan, this opening koan, saying to us? What is it perhaps pointing to? And we should understand that Nanyue is not really admonishing Mazu in this koan. And he's certainly not poking fun at Mazu for saying that he's sitting with the intention of becoming a Buddha. On the contrary, Nanyue is using gentle, skillful means to aid Mazu in gaining understanding, in cultivating understanding and insight into his practice. Last week, Sensei gave a wonderful teaching on great determination, one of the three pillars of Zen practice, great determination. And we should understand that effort and determination, or great determination, are absolutely, absolutely required in practice. Effort and great determination are absolutely required in our practice of Zen, in our practice of Zazen. Right effort, after all, is one of the eight aspects of the Buddha's Noble Eightfold Path. And joyful effort, as Sensei spoke about last week, is one of the six prajnaparamitas, or the six perfections, or perfect understandings in Buddhist psychology. And so effort and determination, these elements are of course present in our practice and are necessary in our practice. But great determination, or right effort, joyful effort, are not in opposition to what I call effortless effort or joyful effort. There is no paradox between them. They are not opposites. They do not clash. This sitting in stillness and being fully present, fully aware, is such a radical departure from our normal way of thinking and operating. This idea of gain, of achieving, of acquiring, of sitting and straining to become something. It's such a radical departure from this normal way of thinking that, of course, it requires effort. It requires a concentrated effort. But this practice is not a path or a practice of trying really, really, really hard to add something to ourselves, to acquire or to attain something. It isn't about striving really hard to become something else, to become something that you aren't already. There's another wonderful koan, and I won't share the entire koan, but it's interesting how this koan connects. This koan is another encounter between two teachers, Joshu, who is a well-known figure in many, many Zen koans, and his teacher, Nansen. And it should be noted that Nansen was a Dharma heir of Mazu, who appeared in the first koan. He was a student and Dharma heir of Mazu. And in this koan, Joshu asks his teacher, Nansen, what is the way? And Nansen replies to him, ordinary mind is the way. Joshu says, shall I direct myself towards ordinary mind? And how do I do that? And Nansen answers, if you direct yourself towards it, you move further away from it. Now think about that. Think about that. What is Nansen saying? What is Nansen telling Joshu in this koan? It's essentially our own dualistic mind, our own dualistic way of thinking that creates that illusion of becoming, of adding, of achieving something in our practice. Our dualistic mind creates that tension and that separation between some imagined goal or result or accomplishment that is somewhere out there apart from us, and we must strain really hard to get to that goal or achievement out there. And it creates that separation between that and my practice, our practice, which is where? Where is our practice? Our practice is always right here. It is always right now, in this moment, not in some imagined moment out there, down the road, sometime in the future. Our practice is always right here, right now, in this moment, fully, full and complete as it is. Fully complete as it is. Every time that we sit Zazen, every time that we come to practice, there is just this. Each time we sit, it is full and complete, just as it is in this moment. When we sit Zazen, It is not a step towards gaining or achieving something out there. It is right here. Our sitting is always right here, perfectly complete as it is each and every time that we sit. This is ultimately not a path of gaining or adding anything. This is a path of shedding, of letting go, or of putting down those things that prevent us from realizing that being present, being awake in this very moment, is our innate nature. That is our true nature, to be present right here, right now. This is what Zen Master Dogen referred to in the Shobogenzo as taking the backward step, turning the light inward and illuminating the self. When we sit Zazen, when we come to practice with these goals, these ideas, and these expectations of gaining something, we simply create more attachments, more entanglements for ourselves. Those expectations of gaining or of becoming are just another form of attachment, another form of craving. And they become another obstacle to realization, to dropping away body and mind, and just being. Just being. Because we often don't know how to just be, how to just be present. We're always searching for something, again, because of that dualistic mind, because of that conditioning that tells us we have to be chasing after something. We have to be trying to achieve something, gain something, becoming more than what we are right here, right now, in this present moment. Zen Master Dogen spoke of no gaining, no becoming, letting go of our dualistic ideas of striving to become something other than who we already are by gaining something else. And in the Fukan Zazengi, which is Dogen's first essay, his first fascicle of the Shobogenzo, the first fascicle that he wrote upon returning to Japan from China, he talks about this. He talks exactly about this idea of no gaining, no becoming. He says in the Fukan Zazengi, "Let go of all involvement and let myriad things rest. Do not think good or bad. Do not judge right or wrong. Stop conscious endeavor and analytic introspection. Do not try to become a Buddha. How could being a Buddha be limited to sitting or not sitting? The Zazen I speak of is not learning meditation. It is simply the Dharma gate of ease and joy. It is the practice realization of complete enlightenment. Realize the fundamental point free from the binding of nets and baskets. Know that the true Dharma emerges of itself, clearing away hindrances and distractions. Free ourselves from the binding of nets and baskets, our expectations, our wanting, our craving, our ideas of having to gain something from practice, having to achieve something, having to become something. The true Dharma emerges of itself, clearing away those hindrances and those distractions. Because when we approach practice with this mind of gaining, of achieving something, it becomes nothing but a distraction, an obstacle. And what do we miss when we're out there thinking about those achievements? We miss right here, right now. We miss it. Shunryu Suzuki Roshi also emphasized this way of practice. Shunryu Suzuki Roshi would say that we do not sit to become a Buddha. Sitting is just the full expression of our true nature. The full expression of our true nature. This stillness, this being present, fully present, right here and now. And Suzuki Roshi Suzuki Roshi said, "There is no need to try to attain some special state. When you try to attain something, your mind starts to wander about somewhere else. When you do not try to attain anything, you have your own body and mind right here. A Zen master would say, kill the Buddha if the Buddha exists somewhere else. Kill the Buddha because you should resume your own Buddha nature." There's a wonderful teacher, a Zen teacher that I follow and listen to his talks quite often, Koen Franz, who's based in Canada. He's the head teacher of the Thousand Harbors Zen Center in Nova Scotia, Canada. And I'm going to borrow this from Koen Franz. I think you talked last week, Daiko, about, or a couple of weeks ago, about stealing some. I'll refer to it as borrowing. I'm going to borrow this from Koen Franz. And he actually borrowed it. He talks about a psychologist, a Canadian psychologist named Stephen Hayes, a wonderful analogy that Stephen Hayes gives about this practice, about what we're talking about this evening. And in differentiating goal versus values, a life of goals versus a life of values, Stephen Hayes says that living by goal is like saying, I'm going to go west because I want to go to Vancouver. Vancouver is my destination. Living by values, or what we often refer to as living by vow, is like saying, I'm going to go west because I'm going to keep going west forever. West is just the way I go. West is simply my path. And for me, this is a beautiful analogy that differentiates this practice or this life of goals and this life of values or this life of vow, living by vow. Goal is like a more linear progression to some destination, to some outcome that we're trying to get to. Vow is like a compass that is always guiding us back to our true home, no matter what direction we may travel in. It is the way I live, wherever I may find myself going, whatever direction I may find myself traveling in. And Koen Franz talks about how we often take this approach in practice of kind of filling in our spiritual resume. He talks about how we often come to practice and we're almost trying to like fill out this spiritual resume of things that we've done, things that we've acquired, things that we've practiced. And so we'll talk about how many times we've sat, how long we can sit in one sitting, how many hours of meditation have we sat, how many sutras have I studied? How many books have I read? And it's almost like filling out this spiritual resume, you know, this list of accomplishments, this list of things that we've done, that we've accomplished in our practice. And there's nothing wrong with this. Again, don't misunderstand. There's nothing wrong with having certain goals that we work towards. We may want to read certain books. We may want to study certain sutras. We may set goals for ourselves about our sitting practice. I'd like to try and sit every day. I'd like to try and sit 5 days a week. I'd like to try and sit for at least 20 or 25 minutes each time I sit. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with having certain goals that we try to accomplish in our practice. But ultimately, practice is not about achieving goals. Our practice is not about achieving those goals, however beneficial those goals may be. Practice is ultimately about how we live our life, how we bring the practice into our life. Practice is about being present to our life just as it unfolds, however it unfolds. And again, Koen Franz says that when we start talking about, or when anyone starts talking about how many hours they've sat, how many times they've sat in meditation or sat zazen, he says rather than talk about how many times or how many hours we've sat, we should ask the question, How many times have you come back? How many times have you come back? In Zazen and in your daily life. How many times have we been sitting Zazen, and of course, the mind wanders, as the mind will do. The mind wanders into the past, it wanders into the future. How many times have I noticed this and come back to the present moment? How many times in my daily life, in my daily endeavors, have I wandered and not been present at all to my life, not been present at all to the moment? And then we can ask ourselves, how many times have I come back? How many times have I noticed that I have wandered away from my life, my present moment as it is? How many times have I come back? This is a much more important question. Just being present, knowing where we are and when we are in each moment, moment by moment, where we are and when we are. Are we present? Are we in this moment? Are we living our lives right now as it is? Because we're always becoming distracted, both in practice and in life. We become distracted so easily, our mind traveling to anywhere but right here where we are. Our mind is often caught up in the past. Our mind is caught up in the future. Our mind is caught up in these goals that we have imagined for ourselves, these achievements, these things that we want to acquire, that we want to gain, that we want to achieve. We get lost and distracted in those thoughts. And we're anywhere but right here, living our life in the present moment. Zazen and Zen practice is about repeatedly coming back. It is always about coming back to right here, to right now, to just coming back to right here, right now, and not out there lost in imagined goals or attainments. And this is the ease and joy of practice, of simply showing up and being present, just sitting, just being, and not chasing after anything, not trying to become or acquire anything. Because when we're constantly trying to add something to our practice, constantly trying to accomplish something that we think must be accomplished for our spiritual resume, practice can start to become a chore. It can start to become laborious for us. Sitting becomes something heavy. And in that, it can start to become the exhausting effort of a goal rather than the joyful and easy effort or enthusiastic effort of vow, of living our life by vow, of just being here. And again, Suzuki Roshi says that while you are continuing this practice, week after week, year after year, your experience will become deeper and deeper, and your experience will cover everything you do in your everyday life. The most important thing is to forget all gaining ideas, all dualistic ideas. In other words, just practice Zazen in a certain posture and do not think about anything. Just remain on your cushion or your seat without expecting anything. Then eventually, you will resume your own true nature. That is to say, your own true nature resumes itself. Your own true nature resumes itself. And I want to mention a teaching that I heard from Genjo once. At least I believe this is from Genjo. You listen to so many talks that you start to wonder, wait a minute, who was it that said this? Who was it that gave this talk? But I'm pretty certain I heard this from Genjo, and this was probably a couple of years ago. Genjo was talking about, and this really struck me, this teaching. He said there's a difference between commitment and devotion to practice. There's a difference, subtle as it may be, there's a difference between commitment and devotion to practice. Commitment, in many ways, is about me. It is about the I, what I want to accomplish, where I want to go. and we make this commitment, or we tell ourselves that we make this commitment to accomplish this or to get to this place. Again, I travel west. I go west because I want to get to Vancouver. Devotion, however, is about the greater whole. Devotion is about we. It is about us. It is about what is most beneficial or skillful in our lives for all beings. How can I best serve others? I go west because I want to go west forever, because west is the way I go. This is devotion. And devotion kind of gets a bad rap. Commitment is often defined as kind of like a pledge or a binding agreement or being dedicated to inactivity, which is great. It's wonderful. But devotion often gets a bad rap because we immediately, our mind goes to religious devotion, to this unquestioning devotion, almost like a blind faith. And many people hear that word and they misunderstand it because they automatically think in this way. But devotion, if you look at the definition for devotion, it actually is often defined as love, loyalty, enthusiasm, or care for something or someone. Devotion is about truly loving and caring for something or someone. In fact, the Latin root of that word, devotion, the Latin root, devovere, even means something more akin to having made something sacred in your life, like a vow, like a life of vow. And the difference for me is that commitments can too often too easily be broken, or they can be set aside. But devotion is vow. It is who we are and how we live in this present life, in this precious life. And so the difference often in practice is that often when we've made a commitment to practice, but things get difficult, things get challenging, it's too easy for us to turn away from practice, to say, well, I'm going through this, or I'm experiencing that, I don't have time for practice right now. I don't have time for practice. Devotion, however, to practice by vow or devotion, is to realize, to actualize practice in our daily life. And when things get difficult, we continue to come back to practice, because that's when we need our practice the most. And this is not to say that sometimes we don't experience difficulties or challenges in our life where we have to take a step back. Sometimes that may be required. But devotion is like that compass, always bringing us back to our refuge, always bringing us back to this life that we choose to live, because this is the way we go. And Zen Master Dogen, I mentioned the Fukan Zazengi earlier, which is regarded as his first teaching. One of Dogen's last teachings, one of his last essays in the Shobogenzo, he talks about the eight realizations of great beings, or the eight realizations of awakened beings. And in that essay, which he wrote shortly before his death, one of those realizations, the fourth realization of an awakened being, is diligent effort, which is much like devotion. It is much like vow in our practice. And I want to read this piece. This is from the Shogogenzo. This is Dogen talking about diligent effort. And I want you to pay attention in particular to the imagery that is used in this writing, because it's important. It is very meaningful. Dogen begins by saying the fourth awakening is diligent effort. It is to engage ceaselessly in wholesome practices. That is why it is called diligent effort. It is refinement without mixing in other activities. You keep going forward without turning back. The Buddha said, monks, if you make diligent effort, Nothing is too difficult. That is why you should do so. It is like a thread of water piercing through a rock by constantly dripping. If your mind continues to slacken, it is like taking a break from hitting stones before they spark. You can't get fire that way. What I am speaking of is diligent effort. And that imagery that he uses is important, because to understand that imagery is to understand what effortless effort, what this Dharma gate of ease and joy is. He says it is like a thread of water piercing through rock by constantly dripping. He doesn't talk about a powerful gust of water just trying to bore through a rock with sheer force, but rather a constant dripping. Drip by drip by drip, piercing the rock. Not this strained, powerful blast, but drip by drip. And if you've ever seen some of the beautiful rock formations in the world, or if you've ever been inside caves and you've seen how the rocks develop over what is probably thousands of years, that doesn't happen like that. And it doesn't happen like this. It happens drip by drip by drip. This is how our practice should be. We're not trying to sit and do this to become a Buddha, to become something, to become enlightened. We do it drip by drip by drip. This is effortless effort. This is the Dharma gate of ease and joy. In this practice, practice is not, again, an accumulation of goals or achievements or attainments, things that we struggle for. It is not a means to some end result that we're trying to get to. Practice is simply the way we go. It is simply our path in life. And in this way, practice is not a chore. It is not a heavy pack that we're carrying on our backs, requiring strenuous effort. It is the ease and joy of practice. It is an open gate, always inviting us back into our true home, always inviting us back in to our true refuge. It's the refuge that we come back to again and again, with great determination, certainly, with great determination, but also with enthusiastic and joyful, effortless effort. It is about being fully present, just that, just being fully present. And I'll close with this. This past weekend, I had the absolute joy, along with my brother Daiko, we got together with one of our Dharma brothers, Hosho, he's one of our Dharma brothers, and he lives in Colorado now, so I don't get to see him often. Neither one of us gets to see him often. And it was wonderful to see him again, to spend some time with him. I love Hosho dearly, and I think of him often. And it was just a joy to get together with him and to share a little bit of time with him. And as I thought about it afterwards, in preparing for this talk tonight, I thought this, in a sense, is what practice is like. This practice, this Dharma gate of ease and joy. It is like connecting or reconnecting with a dear friend. There was no agenda, there was no expectation, no goal. It was just being present to the moment. Each one of us being present for one another. Being present with ease and joy. Nothing forced, nothing contrived. It was simply ease and joy.